So let's take our Friday break from the news to consider the lowly typo. Those misspellings and grammatical errors that you see on signs, maybe an extra S or a misplaced apostrophe. Maybe typo isn't quite the word. How about bad signage? It's long been a preoccupation of author Jeff Deck. In June of 2007, the Dartmouth grad was in a post-college funk. He wanted to do something to change the world, but what? He'd had good jobs, but nothing as earth-shaking as his Ivy League classmates. But as it turned out, one of his jobs, copy editing Rocks and Minerals magazine, gave Jeff Deck what he was looking for, a mission. It all began on a walk near his Cambridge, Massachusetts home. He came upon the no trespassing sign that had bothered him for years. Two S's in tress. But this time, he saw it with fresh eyes.
I stared at that no trespassing sign and I wondered, could I be the one? What if I were to step forward and do something? The glare from the extra S seemed to mock me. Sure, others before me had recognized that there was a problem afoot in modern English. Plenty of people had made much hay of ridiculing spelling and grammatical errors on late-night shows and in humor books and on websites weighted with snark. But who among them had ever bothered with actual corrective action? So far as I knew, not a soul. A lambent vision descended upon me, like the living wheels revealed unto Ezekiel. In it I saw myself armed with whiteout and black marker, waging a campaign of holy destruction on spelling and grammatical mistakes. The picture widened to describe not just my neighborhood, not just the Boston area or even the August span of the Bay State, but the entire nation.
That's Jeff Deck reading from his book, The Great Typo Hunt, Two Friends Changing the World One Correction at a Time, which has just been released in paperback. It tells how that one sign produced TEAL, or the Typo Eradication Advancement League. It tells how Jeff set out on a cross-country trek, armed with a website, whiteout and markers, and often accompanied by his friend and later co-author Benjamin Herson, their mission to terminate typos. We spoke with Jeff Deck and Benjamin Herson last year and began by asking Jeff, so Jeff, what was wrong with that no trespassing sign? Why can't there be two S's in the first trust? Because actually later in the book, you explain how two consonants soften the vowel. So in that case, two S's would make a tre instead of trees passing.
Not all of English is phonetically logical, but I think it's around 86% of the language does follow pretty consistent phonetic rules. And we just have to memorize some of those special cases. And if people continually spell trespassing with two S's in the first part of it, then eventually I think we'll have to cede to the grammatical will of the people. But so far, I haven't really noticed any widespread movement to do that.
And by the way, just to continue that thought, Benjamin, help me with this. The two consonants softening the vowel, that is the rule, right?
That is the rule. The double consonant means the vowel preceding it is short.
Well, that's why now, because of your book, I was driving and I cannot see the word traveling without wanting those two L's there. And in all the public signs, there's one.
Well, here's the thing. The double consonant does signal that it's a short vowel, but the lack of double consonants doesn't automatically mean it's long.
Aye. So this is the kind of thing that you debated as you traveled, two L's, across country. And, Jeff, you realized early on that this wasn't something you wanted to do by yourself. You write, would Frodo ever have reached the heart of Mordor without the devoted companionship of Sam? That's where Benjamin comes in. Now, Benjamin, though, when Jeff first broached this to you, this idea of going cross-country and correcting things, you remembered a story that Jeff had written called The Missing R.
Yes, it was a story he had been working on just when we first became roommates right out of college. The star character of this fictional drama is an editor who tries to make things work for the better, but he doesn't have a way to really communicate with people around him and to really change things for the better. So what he does at the end of the story is he corrects a homeless man's sign.
What was the mistake?
Hungy, please help. And so he put in the R, which is the name of the story.
It was a fictional story, but it was actually based on a real sign that I had seen in Albany around that time.
So this sort of idea has been working its way through your noggin, you know, for a long time now in different forms in that fiction story. Let's talk about the trip. Tick through just a couple of the instances that you came across, where some of the signs were and what happened.
One just off the top of my head was in Chicago. There was a gigantic sign outside this store that was on Milwaukee Avenue, and the store was calling itself Milwaukee Furniture, but they had unfortunately misspelled the name of their own store. Milwaukee was, instead of having an A-U-K, it was U-A-K in the middle. The people inside, when we told them about the mistake, did not really react with the drive to improve the impression that their store was giving than I had expected. They promised that they would pass it on to their manager, but it didn't really seem like anything was actually going to happen.
You know, I'm wondering, as I was reading, there were parts where I said, oh, Jeff, soften your approach, you know? Because didn't you find that it gets at the very heart of someone's sense of self-worth sometimes if you go in and say, you know, you don't know how to spell?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, we are our text, and so it's only a natural human reaction for someone to get defensive when somebody points out their mistake. We tried to be sensitive to the fact that people would get defensive and approach them as courteously as possible and emphasize the fact that we were only going after the mistakes themselves and not the people who made them.
We really wanted to shift from just correcting single errors that we found to asking everybody to take a second look, because to err is human, and we're all going to have typos. So if we could just take that extra moment to take a second look at what we've written, we can catch a lot of them. Or just ask somebody, hey, can you take a look at this?
Right. Well, and some people loved it. You spot a big marquee outside the Pacific Superstore in South Carolina advertising sweats, S-W-E-A-T-T-S. And the young sales girl comes out and looks at it and says, oh, I thought when you shorten sweat shirts, there are two T's. And her manager was happy to change it.
He was. His only condition was that I hold the ladder for him as he climbed up to correct it on the sign. It was just great to be able to hold the ladder for that guy.
Benjamin, give us another example that did warm your heart. There was one sign you thought was going to be impossible to correct. I think it was the it apostrophe S that shouldn't have had an apostrophe.
Yes. This is one of my favorite typo corrections of all. Benton Shoe, now in its 16th year, and there's an apostrophe in it. We have an apostrophe when it's a contraction. It's, that's a possessive pronoun, doesn't need an apostrophe. And people get thrown because possessives need apostrophes. That's the rule, but pronouns are the exception.
Oh, yeah, my head's exploding. In other words, if it's it is, it needs...
It needs that apostrophe.
Apostrophe. And if it's as in possession...
It's 16th year, doesn't need it.
Right.
So there was an apostrophe that didn't belong, but it had been written on this whiteboard for so long that it wouldn't wipe off. So the woman came out and she grabbed a marker and she turned it into a little star and she put a couple more stars and it made it look like there were fireworks on the sign. So she really creatively fixed that typo and made the sign even better.
We're revisiting our conversation with 20-somethings Jeff Deck and Benjamin Herson. Their book, The Great Typo Hunt, tells how, as founding members of the Typo Eradication Advancement League, they cross country looking for errors on signs, correcting them when possible. But as Jeff told us, as he and Ben traveled, they began to have some misgivings. Most of the typos they found were in small, independently owned stores, which don't have proofreaders like corporate chains do. They began to think that maybe those typos gave those local stores their charm.
I did have to ask myself, am I doing the right thing? Am I just destroying the character of these independent businesses by homogenizing their language? But I think it's kind of condescending to imply that one's character is contained entirely in their mistakes.
Well, and you also say that this is one of the wedges that are driven in a class war. You know, people can turn their nose up at people who have spelling mistakes, and you wanted to, you know, sort of level the playing field a little more.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the major problems with typos that are, let's say, in some small storefront window, is that they're not only clouding and impeding the communication itself of whatever message they're trying to convey, but they're distorting the impression that the store gives off. It says something, whether it's fair or not, about this particular store's attention to detail.
So you changed pudding, P-U-D-I-N-G, on a blackboard to pudding, and you changed bracklets to bracelets.
No, that lady was a tough nut to crack.
That's right. That's right. She wouldn't let you do that. But that's where you also remind us of the thing that teachers used to say to us. It's the silent E that makes the vowel say its name.
Right. The silent E indicates the long vowel sound.
Right. So bracklets does need that E, so you can hear bracelets.
Does.
But she wouldn't let you do that. And all this time you're keeping a website, And this is where you discovered that there are different camps, grammar hawks and grammar hippies. Jeff.
You might also hear it referred to as prescriptivism versus descriptivism. And we were calling the prescriptivists the grammar hawks, the ones who were very hard-line about language and believed that, for example, that English has a pure form and that pure form needs to be defended and don't really have a lot of room for things like slang. And the other polar end of the spectrum is the descriptivist or the grammar hippie, which argues that language is ever-evolving, and so to go after typos is not just a hopeless enterprise, but is actively against the tide of language change. We actually started off towards different ends of the spectrum. I guess I was more naturally towards the end of the grammar hawk, not on the full extreme of that end. Benjamin started off the quest as a little more of a grammar hippie himself, but we eventually tried to steer the league into basically the reasonable middle between the two extremes.
Then you come to the Grand Canyon. Now, a lot of people know you really don't want to take markers and whiteout into a national park, but apparently you didn't. What happened in the Grand Canyon? What did you find?
We ended up in this watchtower on the south rim of the Grand Canyon, and we came across a sign that was pretty innocuous looking. It was just some yellow letters that were scrawled on black fiberboard.
Oh, boy.
And they had a misplaced apostrophe in the word women's. The apostrophe, instead of coming before the S, came after the S.
There's that apostrophe again. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. And there was a comma that was missing from a list, so two items in the list were running together. And so we didn't think it would be a big deal to just move that apostrophe and add that comma in there.
We thought it was just another chalkboard sign. We should have realized in that moment that we tried to smudge away the chalk apostrophe that it was not what it appeared.
We only realized later on that the sign had been created about 70 years ago and was considered by the Park Service to have historic and aesthetic value. So after our trip was over, the Park Service summoned us to federal court. We're ordered to pay $3,000 in restitution. And we were also banned from all national parks for a year. That was when we really realized that we should have had a firm policy all along of always asking permission before fixing a typo. And we definitely have that policy in place now.
Yeah. Were you satisfied with your mission, with this kind of two superheroes and friends, there were others, out to do what? To make America beautiful on signs. Were you satisfied with what you did?
Well, I mean, it was a great journey. We had a lot of great conversations with people, and we did track down and fix a lot of typos.
How many?
We found a total of about 437 typos, and of those, we corrected about 236, so a little over half.
Well, and this program and your boosterism comes at a time, as you well know, when kids are texting. They're not making common spelling mistakes. They're not even bothering. You know, thanks is TNAX, and I don't even know what it is. And then I'm just open. And here's you two talking to each other. Benjamin, you've called Jeff at night. You've had some Hosanna, and you say, check it. There are two main categories of spelling junctions: plus junctions and change junctions. To plus morrow equals tomorrow. That's a plus junction. Copy times ed equals copied. That's a change junction. So it goes from C-O-P-Y to C-O-P-I-E-D. I'm reading this and I'm thinking, these are guys who call each other late at night to have that kind of conversation. And people might say to you, you know, you're kind of a dying breed. And
I think it can be kind of an unfair stereotype to say that the only interest in good spelling and grammar is restricted to older generations. We've definitely heard from and talked with a lot of people, you know, our age and a lot younger, who are very excited about this kind of thing, and it's been great.
In fact, if I can go one further.
Please do.
I think typos are a form of pollution. Much like pollution, you're seeing more of it today, because there's a sort of general apathy, one of those tragedy of the commons type things, where it's just piled up more and it's more than we think we can do about it, but that you can get rid of pollution if everybody makes a concerted effort, and you can get rid of typos the same way.
That's Benjamin Herson with Jeff Deck. He co-authored The Great Typo Hunt, Two Friends Changing the World, One Correction at a Time. Jeff and Benjamin, thanks.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us on.